I don't know what you should do, Mike.
I think I'd rather take a bullet in the head.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I don't know what to say. Felger
and Nash. The Beyond Dumb 2 to 6 show, yeah. Right?
Jackpot!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What does that game mean to you last night? To me, the game and the whole season, I think Boston's caught Cleveland, and it's 1-1A, and they're neck and neck, and whoever has home court wins that series. I think the key to this whole thing is Isaiah. Key to the whole thing is Isaiah. If Isaiah comes back and his balls to the wall and Cleveland catches you for home court, then it's I favor Cleveland. Or even still, even if you still have home court, but Cleveland's playing really well and Isaiah's firing on all guns, then, you know, maybe Cleveland deserves that favorite moniker. But I'm surprised nationally we've played you the sound. I mean, Van Gundy at the end of the game clearly said Cleveland's still the clear-cut favorite. Clear-cut. And Maz agrees with that, and others agree with that, and I think they're behind the curve. So that's that Celtics take. We got the Isaiah stuff again. We had thought on the Patriots coordinators. Schefter was on ESPN today, really acting like both are gone, which to me I think relates to Bill and how he's going to have to start over on offense, defense, maybe his personnel guy, and a new quarterback of the future, which is a lot to put on a 65-year-old's plate. So that's all on the board. Back to your phones. Here's Michael and Malden on the coaching thing. Go, Michael.
Hey, how's it going? I was calling to see what you guys think would be the best fit for McDaniels and the reason why. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think, well, do you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
I think it's Indy if Luck's shoulder's good. Apparently he likes that GM who's there, Ballard. You know, there's a good relationship there and some history there. So he's not picking his GM, but it's the next best thing. And I still think the quarterback has a chance to be elite, has a chance to be an all-timer if he gets healthy and has the right coaching. And
I go with the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what happens this weekend, they get blown out. I still think that Mike Mularkey could be fired. You have a good young quarterback that you can work with there, potentially in Mariota. Pretty decent defense. John Robinson, the GM, used to be part of the Patriots scouting staff, so there's some relationship there. I'd wait on that one. And there's not going to be a lot of pressure, because who really cares about that team? If he goes to the Giants, immediately, you know, the spotlight is on him. The Titans, I think you could screw up for a couple of years and kind of skate.
So, I mean, instinctively, I say the Giants, but they're not going to have a quarterback. I mean, I don't know how you take that job without a quarterback.
He has to start over, and they've just hired a GM. So Josh really doesn't get to pick his GM. Now, the wild card in Indy, of course, is the owner, but that owner, as nuts as he is sort of hands-off. He's let the football people do the football stuff. It's not like you're dealing with Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder, one of these guys. He's just a drug addict and a scumball.
Yeah, but there was a report from Pro Football Talk this week that Irsay wants a running back in the first round.
Okay, typically, he hasn't. I mean, I don't know him to make those calls. He'll say it. He'll say all sorts of stuff. But I've never known Irsay to be the guy to be in the draft room saying, no, draft
meddling.
Him. Yeah. Maybe he is. I mean, he's got a whole raft of other problems, but I don't know if that's it. Here's Phil in Malden on the Isaiah Paul Pearson. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah. Season's almost 40 games into the season, and Isaiah should have had plenty of time to fly his mother and his family in here.
You bet.
You know, this is just to put a damper on Paul Pierce's night, you know. And the guy, 2 years he was here, he was injured more than he played, you know. And I think he's just, you know, and as far as Danny Ainge goes, I think Danny Ainge is a bold-faced liar. You can comment on that. Thank you.
Okay, so what specifically did he lie about, Phil?
Well, he's about... he's getting along with Isaiah, and there's no hard feelings, and the BS about not getting a Christmas card and this and that. He could have had his family there last night. He didn't play. He played the night before.
So I agree with you 100%, Paul. I'll just cut you off there. I thought Danny was pretty honest this morning. He's not saying things are patched up or that Isaiah's great. He said, I knew Isaiah would be hurt, and he was hurt, and I accept it. I still love him. So I didn't think Danny was that much of a BSer today with Touch from Rich. But he did, you know, he did say we are going to play the video the night of Pierce, and it's not going to be a big deal. Well, according to Pierce, it is a big deal to him. So now Celtics got to deal with this thing.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the audio. Chris Forsberg, ESPN, just tweeted one of the quotes from Pierce saying this on The Jump on ESPN. I'm not saying Isaiah shouldn't get a tribute video, but on February 11th, the night I get my jersey retired, I'm not sure I want to look up at the Jumbotron and see Isaiah highlights.
I'm with Pierce.
Yeah, me too, 100%.
I'd said, Isaiah, too bad. You missed your chance. What's this? We got to, stop the world for Isaiah Thomas now? This was your first trip in. Customarily, that's when it's done. You asked us not to do it, so you know what? You're not getting one at all. That's what I'd tell him. This is how it's done. It's the first game in. If you miss it, too bad.
So I would do that, too. I guess I should have told him to pound sand. We're doing it last night. Fly your family in last night. But Pierce, he doesn't want to see, 3 minutes of 90 seconds of Isaiah highlights? 3 hours before his event? give me a break. Give me a pause. I mean, like, the diva behavior of all these guys.
Sure.
I mean, please.
So what? It doesn't bother me in the least bit. It's supposed to be his night.
Pierce Singh is post-game. It's after the game. Okay? Well, I mean, so what? Should LeBron come in here? I mean, what if LeBron comes in here and dangles his shorts on your forehead all night for 42 and the Cleveland Cavaliers stomp your ass? Is Pierce going to want to watch that either? Like, if the Celtics were so interested, this is where the Celtics are frauds. If the Celtics were so interested on making it a Pierce night, they would have done it after a game against the Nets on a Tuesday night where there's nothing else other than Pierce. They're doing it on a night LeBron's in? On national TV? Well, Pierce is sharing the spotlight to begin with. Sorry, the Celts already gave that away.
See, I don't feel that way at all. I think it accentuates it, highlights it that LeBron's here. In fact, especially because in that Game 7 duel, Pierce went nose-to-nose with him and knocked LeBron's ass right out of the playoffs. What do you have, 45 that game, LeBron, and Pierce had 41 or something like that?
I think he's sharing the bill to begin with.
I mean, that's what your video tribute's going to be on that night, is Pierce dropping 41 in LeBron's face and kicking his ass out of the playoffs.
Well, isn't that so typical Celtics, though? A guy that kicked your ass for most of his career and has got more championships than the guy you're celebrating, you're going to do that. But that's the Celtic way. I get it. I get it. But Paul's already sharing the bill. He's sharing the bill with LeBron.
So what?
Well, the Celtics did that. The Celtics didn't give him his own night. They put him on a night with LeBron.
So what? You're drawing more eyeballs to it nationally. People are going to be more into it nationally.
No, the Pierce Singh's postgame.
You don't think they're going to talk about it during the broadcast?
They're not going to stick around for it.
But you don't think they're going to talk about it? This is when the Pierce's numbers going up after the game?
No, I don't think that's coming up at all? Sure they will.
Yeah, it'll definitely come up.
Yeah.
So that gets more attention that way. I get no issue with that part of it at all. Isaiah's not important enough. He's not important enough. Too bad. If I'm Pierce, I'm looking at Isaiah go, you know what? Can you take the gum off my shoe while you're here?
Yeah, you're not on my level.
Exactly. Here's my shoe. Here's my size 14 and a half or whatever it is, Adidas. Size 16. Here it is. Can you please scrape the gum off it and give it back to me?
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet.
From 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's a bit of a fuss over the fact that you'd not want a video tribute tonight. You want it when they come back. But Pierce's number is going to be retired that night. What do you make of that fuss?
That's Pierce's night. But, like, the video tribute ain't the whole night. I just wanted my family to be here to see it. That's what it came down to. I wanted to be able to play, and I wanted my family to experience the love and appreciation this city and this organization was going to give me on that night. And when my representatives reached out to these guys, they were all for it, and they agreed on it. So, I mean, I know people, I don't know why they're so mad about it. I'm not taking nothing from Paul Pierce. He did 15 years here, so there's nothing I can take from him. But if they choose to do it that night, that would be great, and I would be honored. And my family and friends can see how much they appreciated me here.
Billy in Rhode Island on Celtics Cavs last night. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing, Felga?
Good.
Good. I got a couple of comments regarding the Celtics and this playoff stuff. First of all, they go into a game last night. They both come in to win. One didn't come in to lose. And they beat them by 14. Maz is over there saying they got to beat them by 15, makes a point of that. 1 point off, but they win the game and they say they didn't play. They just came, they sat down, they didn't play. Another thing, Golden State, he said they were going to beat them by 30. Celtics beat them. Next day, what did he say? Well, they were lucky. The Red Sox win a division. They win the division out of the Yankees in Baltimore. Maz comes in and says they can't go any further. Doesn't that mean anything to win the division over the Yankees in Baltimore?
So you have a problem with Maz.
It's always negative, negative, negative. I don't think he's a New England sports fan. I really don't. We got some good teams here.
Well, no, he's definitely a New England sports fan. You want to answer for yourself. It's just, if it were just one-off night... Say, yeah, one-off night. They've beaten every good team in the league, Maz.
Okay.
I mean, they've had a lot of good nights. I mean, you've spent a lot of time talking about how good they look and how legit Kyrie and the Horford are and the whole thing. And so it's like all this is all built to this point. And then last night, sort of the capper, the immediate reaction is the Celts are right there. I mean, I don't know. I think they're really close. And I'm just surprised that, maybe not you, but again, Van Gundy, some national guys are just sort of blowing it off. Like, it's just like last year all over again. Cleveland's not taking it seriously. Doesn't matter if they have home court or not. They don't really care. It's just waiting for the finals. And I don't think that's the case this year. I think it's a different story.
So, again, you think you can extrapolate from last night's game and apply it to the postseason?
Yes, when I attach it to everything else that's happened this year, yes.
Okay, I don't. I think it means zip, zero, nothing. That's what I think it means, zippo. It's a meaningful win. They open up a little more room in the conference, and home court might matter. That might absolutely be true. If they don't get home court, they got no shot. I'll tell you that right now. So they better get it. They better get home court.
Would you like my whiteboard and markers from last year so you can put asterisks on some of these
sure,
wins?
Murray, if you want to hand me that, hand that down, I'd be happy to take it. Like no problem. One, be happy to do it.
The San Antonio win without Kawhi Leonard, that one gets an asterisk.
Absolutely. Yep, it absolutely gets an asterisk.
The Golden State gets an asterisk because they didn't shoot well.
They didn't shoot well. That one gets an asterisk. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Golden State game, I mean...
Houston one gets an asterisk because of those calls at the end of the game.
Right, asterisk. Thank you. Yeah.
Total gift. Total gift at the end of the game, both of those calls, because you see those a lot in the NBA.
OKC gets an asterisk because they didn't have their stuff together at that point. You know? Mm-hmm.
So no, that was really... a good win.
Oh, that was?
Oklahoma City was a good win.
Yeah, we got one.
Yeah. That one was absolutely a good win. I'll give him that one.
Cam has been waiting patiently to give me a Bruins take. Cam, thanks for holding on. What do you got?
No problem, Mike. I just got a couple. I got some stats here for you. I'm going to compare two NHL players. One used to play for the Bruins, one currently does. You ready?
Yes.
Over the last 2 years, the one who currently plays for the Bruins has played 95 games, scored 24 goals, 29 assists for 53 points, and a +4. He made the playoffs last year. His team's in second place. This former Bruin in the last 2 years has played 93 games. He scored only 16 goals, 21 assists, 37 points, and he's a -9. He missed the playoffs last year, and his team's in second to last place this year. Do you know who I'm talking about?
So is the second guy Lucic?
No, the second guy is Louis Erickson.
Oh, Erickson.
Louis
good
Erickson.
Oh,
so this is David Backes versus Louis Erickson.
Yes, correct. Remember, everyone was like, oh, they should have spent that money on Erickson and not Backes.
Not
Backes
me.
Has played more games despite the fact he had half his colon taken out.
So you want to contact DJ Bean, Dennis John, DJ Bean at NBC Sports Boston. He is the one, among others, all these Bruins. I lump them all together.
DJ
can't keep, you know, can't get rid of Claude. He's the reason that you're where you are. You know, he's the only thing you got going for you is Claude. So you can't get rid of Claude, and you can't get rid of this guy. And Louis Erickson is just the kind of guy that you need going forward. And dot 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 dot. So just add it to the list of things that they've gotten wrong about the team. Louis Erickson. I mean, think of Louis Erickson.
Why would you?
Oh, Louis Erickson. So Backes, look, I don't think Backes was a good signing. Like, I wouldn't trumpet that as a great move by Sweeney.
He's been good though.
But he's been good this year, and that's been their best line. Well,
there's some. You can see it's noticeable chemistry on that line. Like, it's working.
It's been. This Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak's their best line, obviously. But that third line's been their second best line and been one of the most consistent lines, and has been a real tone setter. It's been huge, and Backes has been good. I still think, you know, 5x6 or whatever he got is ridiculous at his age, and you're going to hate that contract in time. But at least he's producing, you know, and you're in second place, you're in third place in the conference, you're playing great, and he's right in the middle of it. So at least you're getting some return on it. What are the Canucks getting? Well, what kind of return are the Canucks getting on Louis? Kyle in Waltham on the Pats. What do you got, Kyle?
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, yeah, so I want to talk to Jim Murray. Jim Murray, yesterday you said that Brandon Cooks wasn't worth the first-round pick. What
correct.
Are you talking about? He had 65 catches this year for 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. I understand Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt fell in the second and third round, but to get that production at the 32nd pick, that was a steal how Cooks takes the top off the defense.
The numbers now, look, the numbers.
Stop there.
The numbers look good. Oh, he's already gone. The numbers look good. Do you find Brandon Cooks reliable?
Nope.
And I have numbers to back this up because thanks to Boston Sports Inf, didn't have room for the O on Twitter. His numbers on third down this year, so... Brandon Cooks on third down, 7 for 26, 157 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks thrown his way, with a rating for Brady of 33.0.
Ooh.
Unreliable. They're not on the same page, especially when it really matters on third down.
That's a great stat.
Great stat.
I'm going to retweet that.
Do it again.
Again, Cooks, 7 of 26.
7 catches on 26 targets.
157 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks.
Quarterback rating at 33.
Yeah. I have some of the other guys here, like Gronk, 18 of 25, 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, 119.2 rating. Hogan, 12 of 20, 133 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, 113.1. So it'll be important that Hogan comes back. James White, who they also have been missing, 20 of 27 on third down, 162, 1 touchdown, no picks, rating of a 101.2.
Okay, Cooks is not worth a first-round pick. I'm sorry. Or what you've gotten from him this year. Who knows? If he breaks out next year or becomes more your kind of guy next year, I'm telling you, this year, I would not give up a first-round pick for what Brandon Cooks has brought you. I do not think that that's good value for what he has produced. And we talked about this a lot yesterday and the day before, and Charlie Weiss and Troy Brown talked about it. He's not a Patriots kind of receiver. He doesn't get open in the tight little spaces. He doesn't work back to the ball. He doesn't fight through traffic. He doesn't fight for the ball. He's just not that guy. He's a vertical guy who wants to go get the ball deep, and that's...
He wants it in his breadbasket, and he wants it in stride. Like, he's nice, he's fast, but he's not a fighter, and he's not really like what you've seen here as a Patriots wide receiver in the past.
Here's Sean on Cape Cod. Hi, Sean, on the Pats.
Hi. So Belichick is the reason that Garoppolo's no longer here.
No, I don't believe that.
The reason why is we all assume that Belichick wanted Garoppolo wanted to keep him. But Brady went over to Kraft and said, no, I'm staying. Deflategate. Go back to that and think about it. Brady took the fall for Belichick. He was one that was like, all right, yeah, I mean, the ball and all that. The Pats entirely concocted a whole story as to why it was not Belichick at all. Belichick then reared those comeuppance when he had to get rid of Garoppolo because Kraft said, no, you have to be loyal to Brady because of Deflategate.
I think that's entirely plausible. I think Deflategate's a part of it. I think Deflategate's definitely a part of whatever frayed relationship there is down there. A part, not the only part, but just a. You know, there's been a series of things. Guerrero's the latest. But I think one of them is that Bill threw it on Brady's lap. Day one steps to the podium and says, you got to ask Bill, you're going to have to ask Tom about how he liked it. Day one. And Will McDonough, meaning Brady's assistant, you got that email, and that email dump, you know, said they just dumped this right on your lap. And so that's how the Brady camp took it, that Bill dumped it right on his lap because he did. And the whole team did. The whole Wells report did. For some reason, you know, Wells stuck a stethoscope up Brady's backside, but let Bill go at a blatant lie that he didn't hear about it until the next morning, which was a blatant lie. So, yes, we've been saying this from day one, that Bill skated like crazy through Deflategate, and they sort of dumped the whole thing on Brady. They hung him out to dry. And if that's part of Brady's and part of the fraying relationship there, I buy that 100%.
I think the caller just stole the idea from Tomasi, because that's what he wrote. He's written it in the last day. That was his theory.
It's a good theory.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question Deflategate left a mark. Again, Bill dropped it right in his lap. You know, again, that McDonough email that you were citing, like, that is damning. You know, that is damning for Belichick. It tells you how Brady looks at the whole thing, you know, that his sidekick or his personal aide is saying to him, don't underestimate this, Bill just dropped it in your lap. He wasn't talking about Bill there like he's Brady's best friend.
So, yeah, it's part of it. It's part of that whole situation.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What sort of kicks us off is a column by Michael Silverman today in the Boston Herald, which was basically an impassioned plea for the Red Sox to sign J.D. Martinez. The headline reads, no good backup plans for Red Sox if they lose out on J.D. Martinez. Just give you a few quick highlights from Mike Silverman, longtime baseball writer for the Herald. He says, what happens if the Sox wait too long on J.D. Martinez? You don't want to know. But I'll tell you anyway. Because the longer the Sox engage in a stare down with Martinez's agent Scott Boras regarding contract length and terms, the more severe the consequences become next season and beyond if another team swoops in to close the deal. It won't be pretty. And then Mike goes through the ramifications. He says, forget about the howls from the media and the fans for not signing him. How would missing out on Martinez resonate with John Henry and the ownership group? They rid themselves of Ben Cherington and entrusted Dombrowski with a win-now mandate that has 2 years remaining. He says then, well, also, what if you're Price or Chris Sale? Or more importantly, Rick Porcello, who owns a 4.25 career ERA and has shown he pitches better with a strong offense behind him. How would Dombrowski explain to the pitchers that when he had the chance to spend the owner's money and not raid the farm system, he couldn't close the deal on Martinez? He writes, what kind of statement would it be to Betts, Bogarts, and even rising stars like Andrew Benintendi about their long-term future that going the extra years and dollars for a proven slugger isn't worth it? He says, unless the Sox have another power trick up their sleeve, they must sign Martinez. He'd be expensive, but they can afford him. If they decide they can't, they won't just look cheap, they'll look bad.
What's the byline on that story again? What's it say up top?
It's the headline is Silverman. No good backup plans for Red Sox if they lose out on J.D. Martinez.
By Michael Silverman.
By Michael Silverman.
Yeah. At the bottom, does it say Scott Boris contributed to this report?
Is that not? Come
or,
on.
Or what
that,
is it? Does it
nice.
Say? I'm just wondering. Like, I wonder what it says at the bottom of the story. Did Scott Boris contribute to the report? That's what I'm wondering. Because it feels to me like Scott Boris is holding out for his 7 years for $200, $210 million or whatever the number is. And J.D. Martinez, he's not getting it. So now what is he doing? Tick-tock, tick-tock. Here we are. It's January 4th. So he's appealing to the Boston media to put pressure on the Red Sox because he's got no takers. And you know what I would do if I were Dave Dombrowski? Not only would I not budge, I'd pull my offer from the table. Stay away from this guy. Let me read you a paragraph here. Okay, this is Silverman writing now. Look ahead to next winter if the Sox can't sign Martinez. Everyone knows that the free agent class will be the best in a long, long time. Bryce Harper, Charlie Blackman, Manny Machado will all be out there. So will Kimbrel, for that matter, and maybe Clayton Kershaw. When the price tags for some of those players are discussed, a contract of 7 years and an estimated $200 to $210 million for Martinez will be a bargain. Except this leaves out one small detail. Martinez isn't as good as those other guys. He's not as good as Machado. He's not as good as Bryce Harper. And he's certainly not as good as Giancarlo Stanton, who would have been 10 years and $295 million. This is why they should have been on Stanton instead of on J.D. Martinez. So now they whiffed on Stanton, and they're going to use the same logic and go get a lesser player?
So if they have a win-now mandate, why didn't you go win now with Giancarlo Stanton?
Bingo! Listen, Boris half-wrote this story, I'm telling you, when you read it. That's what this thing is. It's Boris pleading to the media because, again, tick-tock, tick-tock. It's January 4th, and he doesn't have his guy signed yet. Let me just say, too, the Red Sox are going to get this guy, and I will kill them for it. It's a mistake to sign this guy. At this stage, if you're Dombrowski, you are better off waiting it out and saying, you know what? I'm not going to sign a bad contract when I could have had a better one with Giancarlo Stanton. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? Wait for the trade deadline and see what happens. Maybe in the next 2 or 3 months, a couple of guys in your minor league system that you did not expect to develop will blossom, and you will actually have something to trade come July 31st.
Is Machado dead?
Feels that way.
Why?
I wouldn't say dead. I would just say that my understanding is that nobody has really stepped up and given the Orioles what they want from Machado, which is two good pitching prospects, or at least one and something else. And I don't think the Red Sox really necessarily have either. I'm not sure people are as in love with Jason Groom as we would like to believe. Nonetheless, there is promise there because he was a high pick. So could he be part of a deal? Sure. But I don't think the Red Sox have what it takes to get it done, frankly. And I was talking to someone in baseball, an evaluator, who told me that when you look at the Red Sox list of prospects now, compared to what it was even a year ago, boy, there's a big difference. There isn't anybody on this list anymore that really grades out better than average. Average.
The entire prospect list.
Correct. So, now look, I mean, I don't know, again, maybe something will change. If you're Dombrowski, here's what I would tell you. You've already screwed it up. Don't screw it up worse by signing this guy to a contract he's not worth. Bite the bullet. You whiffed. You screwed up already. Bite the bullet and wait, and maybe now you'll get lucky by the time July 31st rolls around. They screwed it up. You know, to me, it's over.
Are you going with your gut, or did you hear something that it's imminent that they're going to get Martinez?
No. I'm going with my gut on that one because I don't think they have anywhere to go. I mean,
I would just hope that they would wait. Oh, God.
So, Murray, if Boris is appealing to the Boston media, why is he doing that?
Oh, to butter up Dombrowski to make the signing.
Because he's got nowhere else to go.
Right.
He's got nowhere else to go. So now you get this cute little quote-unquote stare down between Dombrowski and Boris. And listen, I've dealt with Boris. I know it was bullcrap. I can smell it from a mile away. And so to me, this smells of Boris bullcrap. He called Silverman back. First of all, whenever he calls you back, you know you're going to be spun. Okay, because otherwise he doesn't call you.
The 90-minute conversation.
So then he calls back and he says, Scott Boris, you know, let me tell you what the Red Sox need to do, Michael. They really need to examine the landscape, because if they think this deal is excessive, a year from now, the J.D. Martinez deal is going to look like a bargain because Bryce Harper Manny Machado, those guys, Michael, will get double the money that Martinez. So what he needs to do here, Michael, is Dave Dombrowski needs to think ahead. He needs to get ahead of it. 7 years, $210 million for J.D. Martinez is a bargain, Michael. That's what it is. It's a bargain. The Red Sox need to awaken to that reality because they have a power problem. Organizationally, if you really examine it, they have a power problem. So I'm telling you, that's how the conversation goes. And you say, yep, and Michael, realize that whatever you don't spend now, this is the Red Sox we're talking about. You didn't invest in this team, Michael, with these young players giving up the resources they gave up. They didn't invest to just stand pat. They need the player. They want the player. They just don't like the contract. And I'm telling you, the contract's a good contract. It's a fair contract. And next year, it'll be a bargain. J.D. Martinez will be a bargain, Michael. And Silverman won't be able to get a word in edgewise because Boris will be flapping his gums the whole time and probably has it on, probably turned off the receiver so he can't even hear the Silverman. Trust me, I've been there. I know. It is one big pile of crap. Stay away. If you're Dombrowski, stay away. Pull the offer. Let him go dump J.D. Martinez and some other sap.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, the next time they come into town is the day that you're honoring Paul Pierce. Do you still intend to do that? You don't think that takes anything away from Paul Pierce's event?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think Paul said it best, you know, that he's gonna be the appetizer, the main course, and the dessert. I thought that was pretty funny, but. I think that it won't interfere with Paul, and Paul understands, and everybody understands. It'll be a great game, and it'll be a great moment, and Isaiah deserves it in our mind. And we all love Isaiah and are grateful for him and all that he's done for us as well. And obviously you can't compare the two, but Isaiah has been very gracious through this whole process. He hasn't made any demands. He just had one request, and we granted him that request.
Danny says it doesn't take away from Paul Pierce's night, but Paul understands. Apparently, Paul doesn't understand because Paul Pierce was on his ESPN show today, The Jump. And so he's asked about it. He's on there with Rachel Nichols and Jerry Stackhouse. And we sort of pick it up in the middle here. And so, like, I think Pierce is sort of chuckling about it, but you'll hear him here say he's not interested in seeing Isaiah up on the board during his night.
Isaiah, this was your night. Come February 11th, you might have to wait till next year. Listen, on February 11th, the night I get my jersey retirement, I'm not sure I want to look up at the Jumbotron and see Isaiah highlights. I had a chance to watch Kobe's and throughout the game, the timeouts. It was a lot of tribute videos for him, and I enjoyed to watch that throughout the game. Now, hopefully, you know, the Boston Celtics will do that for me. I'm not sure if I want to see an Isaiah video that night. Your video tribute should be sent to you on Twitter or Instagram. Like they could have did the Jay Crowder tribute on the gram. Sent it to him directly.
I love it.
That was
go ahead, guys.
Jinx, buy your Coke.
Go.
No, I think it's he's not on his level. Isaiah Thomas is not on Paul Pierce's level. You know the ego and the pride involved with all of these guys, any professional athlete, but especially NBA players. And what has Isaiah Thomas done here compared to Paul Pierce? Again, I'll say it again. He's a blip. He was just a cute little footnote in Celtics history. Paul Pierce has actually accomplished something here. Won a ring. Not on my night, buddy. You're not on my level. You're a bum compared to me. Do it another time. Do it next year. Or you had your chance. So what's going to be interesting here is if Isaiah Thomas had this request to the team, if I'm Paul Pierce, I have a request now. I don't want Isaiah Thomas' video montage done my night.
I'm with Murray. I'm totally with Pierce on this. And it's totally diva-ish and everything else. I agree. It is. Welcome to the NBA. And so the day was committed to Pierce. It should stay committed to Pierce. Isaiah had his chance. You blew it. Too bad. No video. You want the video? We'll send it to you on, you know,
the gram,
yeah,
as he said.
Yeah, on the gram or Vimeo or one of those, right? Like, you know, whatever. We'll upload it. You can get it on Google Drive, pal. Have a blast.
I think totally is just so patently absurd. I mean, I love talking about it because it's so catty. But my God, no other sport are we talking about something like this. But when you play the video and who's been out of shape and what representatives are calling the team to hammer out when we'd run the video and who's going to be there. And I mean, I think Paul Pierce is being a total diva too. Paul Pierce's event, the thing, is after the game. It's an afternoon game against Cleveland. So it's after the game. the Isaiah Thomas highlight tribute is probably going to be the first TV timeout of the first quarter. Probably 3 hours before Paul Pierce is on the floor for his night. Is it really that big of a deal, Paul? Is he really stealing your spotlight? Like, I mean, they're also worried about their spotlight. Like, good God, you're having your number retired. You're a champion. Like, what are you worried about? The first TV timeout of the game 3 hours before you're even on the floor. But again, Isaiah, what are you doing? You could have done it last night. They gave it to you last night. You stood up during the first TV timeout. They showed you on the Jumbotron. People applauded you and stood up and you had your moment. Like, why couldn't you have had it last night?
Okay, so Isaiah gets to dictate the schedule
over
Pierce?
No, none of them should. None of them should. The team should say, fellas, listen, we run the scoreboard. These are just video clips. Isaiah, we're running yours last night. You don't want to celebrate it in street clothes. We're sorry. That's when we're going to have to do it. And that's what they should have done. Now they've created a thing where they've promised Isaiah February 11th, and now Pierce doesn't want it on February 11th. And now they've got two little chicks at the beauty shop getting at each other, and now Danny's in the middle of it, and you think he gives a rat's ass about any of this?
Nope.
So they should have initially said to Isaiah, sorry, buddy, it's last night or nothing.
I mean, to me, that's where I stand if I'm them. Too bad. It's over. You missed it. We can't do it.
Well, but can they go back on their word now? They told him they'd do it on the 11th.
Too bad. Pierce said he didn't want it, and Pierce's word means more than yours.
Boy, you think Isaiah's, and I mean, not that you should care, but you think Isaiah's hot now at the team. What if you call him back and say, Isaiah, actually, we have to go back on that February 11th thing.
And what will that mean?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. I know. I'm just saying it'll piss off Isaiah even
more.
It's
embarrassing enough that they actually kowtowed to him and said, okay, yeah, fine, we'll do it because we feel a little bit guilty because you're butthurt that we moved you in a business decision. Tough. Get over it.
I mean, if you're the Celtics, who are you more worried about pissing off? Paul Pierce or Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah,
Paul
Pierce. The real answer is neither.
Okay, but I said more.
Isaiah.
You're more worried about pissing off Isaiah?
I don't care about pissing off Isaiah is what I'm
saying. Oh, so exactly. I mean, Pierce is, say what you want, but Pierce's number is in those rafters legitimately. His number's up there legitimately. Okay? I mean, he did win a title, and so Isaiah? Please, but Pierce will always be remembered as a Celtic. Well, Isaiah? I'm not even sure. I don't know what the hell Isaiah is going to be remembered as.
So Pierce must have had a change of heart because Danny Ainge in that TNR interview this morning is quoting, you know, Paul's, you know, Pierce said, I'm still going to be the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever he said. The appetizer, main course, and dessert. And he said that Paul understands. So Paul must have said something publicly somewhere or said to Danny that he's okay with it. But again, Ainge was referencing a line about being the buffet or whatever that line was. So now Pierce wakes up today and says, actually, I don't like it.
Maybe he's just doing it for the TV show.
Like, oh my God,
people. You know some of his boys are probably chirping in his ear.
My
like,
God.
Oh, come on.
My God. Well, what is this? The real housewives of the NBA. But I'll tell you, I mean, Isaiah, to me, it starts with the team with allowing Isaiah to call the shot on the stupid video. That's where it starts. But the Isaiah thing, Isaiah is so full of crap. And I've said this a couple times today. The more I think about it, it can't be about his family being in the building or anything. It's about his stupid reality show and the Players Tribune thing, the Book of Isaiah, the latest installment. That'll be a nice episode. If he gets to play, he plays well. Maybe he wins. They get the video up on the board. That makes for a more compelling show, doesn't it? Than him just waving to the crowd last night in his warm-up suit. So it's a much more stuff. So you watch. When he comes back here on February 11th, Isaiah's going to have his crew, meaning his film crew. You have the Players Tribune, Book of Isaiah thing, and that's going to be... So the Celts are allowing him to do that thing, which is annoying.
Well, he'll have his crew, but if I'm the Celtics, he's not getting his video. You can have your crew all you want.
So you'd go back on that?
I would. I would totally go back on it. Yep, we traded your ass, and now we pulled your video. See you later. Have a nice time in Cleveland. Bye.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.